This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, you're listening to Joy 94.9 with Macca and Joe on Saturday Mag, and we've just completed a long-form interview with John Pesutto, the Leader of the Opposition. And we are now turning to talk to Sean about Rainbow Local Government Coordinator. You are the Rainbow Local Government Coordinator of the Victorian Pride
Sean
Lobby.
Sean Mulcahy.
And we're going to speak to you about what's going on in LGAs across this state. Welcome, Sean.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So you followed two politicians. you know, being involved in the lobby, you deal with them regularly. You've actually, you know, you guys, you know, the local government committee within the lobby has achieved something that, to be honest, I never thought you'd be able to achieve. And that is that every single council, every LGA, for the people who love the Beltway in Victoria, will fly the rainbow flag on Ida Hobbit Day. Every single one. Did you ever think you'd get there? I know you aimed for it, but...
Well, we set ourselves an ambitious goal for this year. We said that we would get there. I'm ever the optimist, and I thought we would, but definitely when we got that last council come over the line, there was whoops of joy and much bubbles.
Mm. Because, of course, this has been a huge issue, the flag flying on the Surf Coast. It was a big issue. Gippsland, it's been a big issue about whether they're going to fly it in Gippsland and East Gippsland, like these things, and it's been such a big journey, and it's been a very emotive journey. What do you think has changed, I guess, that now we have all the councils?
It has been a long journey, and for a lot of councils it was a very complicated, convoluted, and sometimes quite difficult process. But I think more and more councils are seeing their fellow councils coming on board and seeing the strong reactions that the community have to this. Now, some of us might just go, this is just a flag raising. What does it really mean? What impact does it have? But when I go along to these flag raising ceremonies and I see the joy on particularly young LGBTIQA plus people's faces, particularly those that are in rural areas that might experience a higher degree of isolation than others, that to me says it's all worth it. And I think the more councillors that see that and see the difference that simple gestures like these make, the more that are taking up this action.
And of course this has come about through, you know, your leadership and you supporting work on the ground, but it has required that work on the ground. And I'd like to give a shout out to my friend Sally Conning, who did a lot of advocacy in the Gippsland area and the Surf Coast around flag raising, trans elder and activist Sally. Can you tell me a little bit about what that looks like? What have those people been doing? What have you been doing? What does it look like to change those hearts and minds?
Well, our approach is to work with people on the ground, because we know if we've got locals speaking to their local councillors, that's going to make the most difference. So it's people having the courage to stand up and ask a question at a council meeting. Sometimes for the first time, people gathering together and petitioning their council. We had the wonderful folk at Moorabool Rainbow Allies that ran a petition that sat in the local op shop at Balan, and they collected enough signatures they were able to present that to council and convince them to fly the rainbow flag for the first time. And to continue to speak with email and get in touch with their local councillors to say how important this is to them. We couldn't do the work that we do without people on the ground being brave enough to speak with their councillors. And what I find is that when people do that and they get the positive, overwhelmingly positive receptions that they do, that gives them a bit more confidence to engage at a local level as well.
So this has been the good news story for Ida Hobbit Day next week. We do need to turn now and talk about the bad news story and the challenges we have in local government areas. we've got the support of the local government areas, but what we've seen is actually in the lead up to Ida Hobbit is 4, 5, 6, I think it's reached now, of drag story times as a children's offering in the Ida Hobbit schedule having been cancelled. And I wonder if you can talk us through a little bit about that.
So we have seen a number of councils make the difficult decision to cancel particularly drag story time, but increasingly rainbow story time events. And I think we can trace this back to what you were talking about with John earlier, those events on the steps of State Parliament on the 18th of March, where we saw anti-trans protesters gather together with neo-Nazis. Now, what was less reported about that particular event is that one particular speaker got up and attacked Ballarat City Council and their elected mayor for simply supporting an LGBTIQA plus inclusion plan in the city that was overwhelmingly endorsed by the council. I think what we've seen is a small but vocal minority of anti-trans activists who are having little to no influence at a federal or state level now turning their attention to local councils, government and local councils. And it's really unfortunate to say that.
I think that's an important point, Sean. And I think John Pesutto actually made the point. The government has 56 seats. The Liberal Party has 19 seats in the Victorian Parliament. So at the end of the day, that agenda hasn't, and I'm not saying it is a Liberal Party agenda, but some of their candidates, it certainly was. It didn't resonate with the electorate, and it hasn't resonated federally. So now they're turning, you know, these knuckle draggers are turning their attention, well, they are knuckle draggers, are turning their attention to local government. And what concerns me is local government, its ability to deal with this. And one of the reactions, of course, the safety of residents attending the meeting and officers and councillors is paramount. So often, in some cases, the default decision has been made not to have the meeting or to only have it online. And that actually restricts democracy, and it gives these people a greater voice than they actually have or that they deserve, doesn't it?
It does. And, of course, the paramount consideration should be the safety of children and their parents that are attending these events, and that has to come first. But I also think it's important for councils to recognise that by cancelling one particular event, that might protect the safety of parents and children attending that event, but it emboldens these anti-trans forces to go on and target other events that pose a broader risk to the safety of the community.
And can you tell us about how, and I know that you've been involved with Rainbow Community Angels, and can you tell us a bit about that as a response to, because I guess, like, what are we going to do, really? We know that largely council, well, we know that all the councils are on our side here. They want to hold these events. We know that with the flag raising. We know that there's a general population in Victoria that wants to turn its back on transphobia. But yet we're still seeing this very small minority of people being successful at cancelling our events. What can we do? What are you doing? What do we do?
Well, there's three things we can do. The first thing is, and you talked about this with Josh earlier, the state needs to pass anti-vilification protections because we know that if we can cut off this hate before it leads to these attacks on events, then that'll ensure the events can go ahead safely. The second thing is Victoria Police needs to step up. It's got existing enforcement powers it can use to deal with these attacks, and it needs to stop putting pressure on councils to cancel. And if it's unwilling to do that, then the councils need to step in and use their existing powers under their local laws to protect the community. And that's where the Rainbow Community Angels came in. We could see that there were increasing cancellations, that we didn't have the protections at state law, the Victoria Police were unwilling to act, and that councils, despite wanting to support our community, didn't know what to do when confronted with this level of hate. So we're there to support these events to go ahead, having a community presence that provides a safe passage for people that are coming in, a joyous, uplifting experience for people that are going along to these events.
We saw that, you know, the Attorney General said on this program that the time frame, she actually said, Jacqueline Symes, this year. Subsequently, it's blown out a little bit. But, you know, I hope that, yes, the government casts the net wide but actually targets it properly. And that the opposition can work with them to actually make it a truly bipartisan piece of legislation, because we actually need it, because what we have now isn't working. You know, some sources in the police have indicated to me they're ashamed of the way they handled that demonstration. But they were acting in accordance with what they believed was the law and what they could do. And, of course, as an organisation, they want to be cautious. They don't want to do things that perhaps they don't feel the law gives them the remit to do. So I hope, Sean, that next year, Ida Hobbit, you get the same number again, the same, all the councils again, because it's such an important demonstration of solidarity, isn't it?
And we will. These councils will not back down. I guarantee you that 79 councils will fly the rainbow flag next year, because councils want to support their community. Yep. I'll also just add that we are heading up to Canberra to take the campaign up there.
Yep.
We're going to the National General Assembly of Local Governments to speak with councils across the nation about how we can support them and they can support us. So if people jump onto our Rainbow Local Government Facebook page, you can see we're running a fundraiser to get us to Canberra to send this message of positive inclusion. Because we know that when we work across the political divide in local councils to support the LGBTIQA plus community, that we can win, and we are continuing to win in the face of this.
What an excellent point to end on today, Sean, and thank you for coming in.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation. Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.